Welcome to the Refuse Ordinary podcast. I'm your host, Tamara, and I'm so glad you've decided to join us on this journey of discovering who God is and who we are in Him. We are so excited to share with you today another class from our full-time School of Transformation. Today's topic is called Being Led by the Holy Spirit, taught by David Connor. We hope you have a great listen.
Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for Jesus. We come to you in His name because we want to be transformed. We want to be changed, and we want to learn of you. We want to learn how to be a disciple that bears much fruit. Amen? Amen. All right. This will be my part two of discipleship. Today, we're going to be talking about how to listen to God and be led by the Spirit. But I want to review again, because I don't think you can listen to God and be led by the Spirit unless you are born of God. And that's why we spent that first month talking about how we were born again. God made us into a new creation, right? We are the very workmanship of God, created to do good works. We have been regenerated and renewed by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. And what's so precious is we've been born again of an incorruptible seed, the seed of Jesus. And so God starts to work in us, right? And He wants to work in us to perform His will and what He desires, which is for us to become transformed into the character and image of Jesus. But sometimes it's hard working with people, right? If you don't really believe they are trustworthy, sometimes it's hard allowing somebody to work on you unless you have faith in them. And especially if you don't believe they love you or are concerned about you. And so we spent a month talking about the love of God. And what I emphasized is we have to come to a place where we not only experience His love, but we also believe and rely and trust in His love. And when you can do that, you can allow Him to work. And so we discovered that as God starts to work, there's some things inside of us that need some inner healing. And so we spent the month talking about Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals not only physically but inwardly. And we came to know Him as the God that is near, the God that heals, and the God that mends up the broken of hearted. And when Jesus was on earth, He opened up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and said, "This is who I am. I'm the one who heals the brokenhearted. I'm the one that sets the captive free." And we got to know Him. And then I said, sometimes we can maintain inner healing, or we have a harder time maintaining it if we don't believe who God calls us to be. And remember the story about the woman with the issue of blood, 12 years. I mean, she spent all her money and she only grew worse. She was an outcast in society, but she heard about Jesus and she said, "If I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole." So what happens is she goes in there and she touches His garment. She gets healed physically, right? It's a miracle. But Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And she came and she told Him everything. She said, I just believe that if I could touch the hem of your garment, I'd be made whole. But she really wasn't whole inwardly yet. She was known as the woman with the issue of blood. But Jesus called her something special. Do you remember what that was? It was daughter. And He calls you daughter and He calls you son. And that's your new identity. And as you discover who you are in Christ and because of what Jesus has done for you, your life can be transformed. Now, we're talking about discipleship this month, but you've been being discipled for the last 3 months. You have been discipled from the time you met Jesus. But we want to make you fruitful disciples, and that's what my teaching is about. So last time I taught, we mentioned that Jesus said to the Jews that believe Him, remember that? That actually believed in Him, that He and would hold to His teachings, right? That meant they believed His teachings, they paid attention to His teachings, they lived out His teachings. They were His true disciples. And it was to those people, those true disciples, they would get to know the truth and the truth has set them free. And so we talked about a lot of scriptures the last time we met. And I said, especially like Romans 8, what was it, 8:38? I said, you have to believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And if you do that, then you can be His disciple that bears much fruit. you stay connected to Him. But today we're going to talk about something different. We're going to talk about how to listen to God and be led by His Spirit. Now, what I've come to conclude amongst many people is, if we can't listen to and obey the written Word of God, what makes us think we're going to be able to actually live out the spoken Word of God, where He speaks something to us, or maybe a prophetic word? And I see so many people, they don't know the Word of God, but they're always hearing, you know, from God, and they're out there living, and it doesn't look like they're bearing any fruit. So I really believe that we can't be successful in hearing God speak to our heart until we are actually living out the spoken, the written Word of God. Does that make sense? All right. So I believe if we have a hard time listening to and obeying God's spoken voice, it is because we're not confident that we're really hearing from God. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people go, well, I'm not sure it's God. All right. Well, God will always speak to us. His Holy Spirit will always speak to us in line with His Word. So if you don't know His Word and you hear a voice, how do you know it's God if you don't know the Word? So it's very important that you live out the Word of God. All right, so today we're going to talk about how disciples are led by the Spirit and not their emotions or flesh. And I believe Sean taught you a little bit about that earlier in the month, okay? But we're going to take a look at some scriptures, and the first one's Romans 8:13. And it's, let me pass out my notes so you can read it right from those. There you go. That'll be easier for you. Romans 8:13 through verse 16.
For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children.
Thank you. So in verse 13, let's take a look at that. What are the things that you can be led by, and what is the results? What are the things you can be led by, and what are the results in verse 13?
What are the things you can be led by their...
And the results. So verse 13, it says, if you live according to the what?
The sinful nature,
you will what? Die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will do what?
Live.
All right, so we see that we have an opportunity to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit here. All right, and we can live by the Spirit, and if we do, we'll have life. Verse 14, who are the sons of God led by? They're led by what? The Spirit of God. All right, and it's talking about sons and daughters. What have disciples received in verse 15?
Sonship.
You received a spirit of sonship. And remember in the scriptures when it talks about mankind, man, it's talking about mankind. So you have received, even if you're a woman, a spirit of sonship, of belonging. Just like when Jesus called the woman with the issue of blood daughter. All right? So where, though, does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Look at verse 16. It says the Spirit Himself testifies with what?
Our spirit.
It's the Spirit that has been born again. It's the Spirit, our spirit, that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to. All right, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17.
So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other.
Okay, so by this, it's talking about living by the Spirit, which means you're walking through life, you're living through life by the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that in order to listen to somebody, you got to live with them, right? I remember my grandpa, he would always be reading the newspaper. Nobody reads newspapers now, but my grandma would be talking to him, and I don't know if his hearing aids weren't on or what, but he wasn't paying attention, all right? The relationship was kind of strange because he would just read the newspaper and never hear, We used to make fun of him because we used to talk to him real quietly, and he would say, "Did you say this?" And we go, "Yeah," and we were just kidding with him. But there was a relationship, all right? And I want you to see that you need to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit so you can start listening to him and be led by him. Make sense? All right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12.
However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of God except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us.
Thank you. So in here you can see how God reveals himself to us. It's by the what? Spirit. By the Spirit. How does God speak to us? By the Spirit. So if God reveals his mind to us by the Spirit, and he speaks to us by the Spirit, we need to have a relationship with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I really believe the more you deepen your relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're going to see more fruit in your life, all right? I want to show you a passage in John chapter 15 we went through last week where it says we need to be connected to Jesus. We need to abide in him. We need to abide in his word. We need to abide in his love. We need to abide in his joy. I also ask him to abide in me. I want him to live in me. I want his love to live in me. I want his joy and his peace, all right? I want his words to be alive in me. Because I want to be a good disciple. He says, if you do that, you'll bear much fruit and bring glory to the Father. But what's so interesting about the passage in John 15 is it's some of the last words of Jesus. And he says that he's going to be going away. Now, what's so interesting about that is Jesus, you just told us we needed to abide with you, right? You just told us we needed to live in you. And now you're telling us that you're going away. How's that going to work? And he says, actually, you're going to be better off if I go away because I'm going to send somebody to you. And so go ahead and turn over the page and let's look at what is he talking about. Now, this is from the Amplified version of the Bible, so it's a little more in depth, but I need you to read John 16, verses 7, and I believe verse 8, possibly. And that's from the Amplified version.
However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you.
Interesting. Do you see that Jesus just said, I'm going away. I'm sure the disciples are kind of freaking out, right? What do you mean you're going away? And then he says, but it's to your advantage. It's good for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter, the Counselor, the one who can help you, the one that can be your advocate, the one that can strengthen you and stand by you and help you to live this Christian life. And notice it says he's going to be in close what? Fellowship with you. All right. It's a relationship. We're to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit like the disciples developed with Jesus. All right. And as a result of that, he's going to be the helper that we need, the comforter that we need. Now, look at verses 12 and 13 of John 16.
I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come.
Okay, so now Jesus is telling you that not only will the Holy Spirit comfort you, but he's the Spirit of what? Truth. Remember Jesus said, my word is truth, right? He said, In John, you shall, if you hold to my teachings, you shall know the truth. And now he's saying the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he says that he will guide you into what? All truth. So it's a relationship we're developing with the Holy Spirit where he starts to guide us into the truth. The truth of what will set the disciple free. And then he says he will speak only what he hears and he'll tell you what's to come. So he's going to guide you into all what? Truth. Now the word guide means to direct you, to lead you, to show you, to point it out, and to speak. All right? So the Holy Spirit will speak to you the truth of your word. Now what happens is the more you know the truth and you live it out, you're abiding in Jesus, the more fruit you're going to bear. So even though you've been being discipled for the last 3 months, this month we want to take you to a different level, a level of bearing fruit and bringing glory to God. Does that excite you? Yeah. Amen. It does. All right. So he is here to guide us. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would God put his Holy Spirit within you, right, to lead and guide you into all this truth and then not give you the ability to hear the Spirit? Because I hear a lot of people say, well, I can't hear God. I never recognize God. Well, he's always going to speak in line with his word, right? Now, you might say, well, I don't see in the Bible where it said go to, you know, school of transformation, right? Where in the Bible can I find that? Well, you can't find it there, but you can find this, that you do need to be disciple. Remember Jesus, when his final words were go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people, making disciples, right? So we know we need to be discipled. So obviously, he'll speak to you, go to the school of transformation because it's a great place to be discipled, to be transformed and become more like Jesus. So does it line up with the principles of the Word of God? It does. But you can't specifically see that, can't find that in John anywhere where it says to come here. But you can find through the teachings of Jesus what the school of transformation has to offer you will help you fulfill the call of Jesus to be a good disciple. All right. So I believe he's given you the ability to hear, all right? I believe in him, we just have to develop it, all right? Now, sometimes we develop it by missing the Holy Spirit. Like back in June, did I tell you this story? I'm a golfer, and in June, I hadn't golfed yet because I had, remember, my operations on my knee and my hand, and I was so wanting to golf, right? So I go and get all warmed up to golf that day, but it just happened to be 28 degrees in the morning. All right, so they call it a frost delay. So I got warmed up real early, but we had to be delayed like 2 or 3 hours. So I got kind of stiff and it was still really cold, right? There was frost still on the ground. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, spoke to me and said, do not golf today. And what did I do? I golfed. And guess what happened? My sciatic nerve flared up and I was in pain for basically 4 months. I couldn't golf. I could golf once in a while, but I could never golf 2 days in a row. So sometimes you learn the voice of the Spirit when you miss it. But I pray you don't do that. But there's times over my 45 years of following Jesus that I haven't quite listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and I've blown it. I turn around and repent. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. Sometimes the flesh, you know, we listen to the flesh more than the Spirit. We argue. And I remember back arguing with the Spirit. Oh, no, I'll be okay. I warmed up. It'll be all right. And you know, I'm not saying that God gave me sciatic nerve pain. I'm not saying that at all. He knew I would get it if I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit is what he's warning us what is to come. That's exactly what Jesus said. And I didn't heed the warning, and I learned a lesson. And of course, I'm saying, okay, I'm wrong. I want to listen to you because I know you can guide me into a truth that sets me free. And I probably would have enjoyed the summer of golf a lot more if I would have listened to the Holy Spirit. And I think all of us would probably enjoy life much more if we would just listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't, if you missed it, just repent and say, I'm wrong. I blew it. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit. And you know what? I ended up recovering, and I'm better, and I was able to golf more and more. So that's just one of the things we can do. We can learn from missing it sometimes. Now, I pray that you don't do that. I'd much rather you just listen to the Spirit and do what he tells you to do. Okay, but here's a way that I believe we can know the difference in his voice versus maybe the voice of the enemy, all right? And I know that God has promised that we could hear his voice. Look at John chapter 10, verses 1 and verse 5. Okay. Will you go ahead and read that for us?
His sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follows him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice.
Amen. Thank you. You ever heard somebody in another room and you go, ah, I recognize that voice. You know what I mean? And you go in there and sure enough, Johnny's in there. You know what I mean? And because you recognize his voice. Well, the only way you're going to recognize his voice is you got to know his voice. You got to know him. You've listened to him. You've heard him. And so Jesus is promising us that we can hear his voice, right? And because we know him, we're familiar with him. And so I see a lot of people, they don't know the voice of Jesus. They don't know the voice of the Spirit because they don't spend any time in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. They don't spend any time in the Word because he's going to speak in line with the Word. So we're not sure sometimes because we don't know and we're not familiar with the voice that God is speaking to us. Now, here's a way to tell. Let me read John 10:10, the difference between the voice of Jesus and the voice of our enemy. Jesus calls him the thief. In John 10:10, he says, the thief comes to what? Kill,
steal, and destroy.
I've come that ye might have what? Life, and have it more abundantly. Jesus has come that we might have life. It's very interesting that John said Jesus is the life. So in essence, Jesus came that we might have not only his life, but have a relationship with him. And that's what a disciple is. So, what is the difference? Well, the voice of Satan will lead to destruction in your life. If you continue to follow him down his path, he'll steal, kill, and destroy. But if you're listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, you're listening to the voice of the Word of Jesus in truth, you're going to have an abundant life. Now, I'm not saying that the abundant life is things. I'm saying the abundant life is Jesus. You're going to have a relationship with Jesus, and that's what his voice, and that's what the Spirit will lead you to. All right. What are some of the things you can do to become a better listener? What are some of the things that help you to listen?
Not have any distractions.
Not have distractions, right? When my wife's talking to me, right? She doesn't want me in the computer. Even though I'm trying to correct things for this class, she wants me to pay attention, right? And if I don't, it's not good, right? It's not a good relationship. It's like when I'm teaching you, if you're out there on your cell phone and you're not paying attention, right? So one of the greatest ways to have a better relationship is to pay attention to the person, communicate with the person. How about spending time with them? All right. Not being so distracted. What are some of the other things that help you to become a better listener?
Actually trying to understand his voice. So when you hear it, you'll know it.
Try to understand his voice. All right. Sometimes the problem with me as a listener is we're always coming up with the answer and we're not paying attention to the voice that's speaking to us. Have you ever done that? Where you just go, I just want to return this right away. I'm going to tell you instead of really listening. But I think with God is we can have this where we ask him questions. We have a relationship with him. And we go, what did you mean by this? All right. And of course, we're not going to win an argument with God. All right. But we can communicate with him and talk to him. So we have to become a better listener. And I know one thing is, remember, and this is one of the ways to be a really good disciple. Remember Jesus was at that house where he's performing all the miracles and the whole entire town shows up, right? And he goes to bed and gets up, what, early in the morning, and he goes to what? A secluded place to what? Pray. So sometimes to listen to God better, we got to get alone with him. Jesus did that, and all of a sudden, they found Jesus, and they go, okay, Jesus, everybody's in town. Come on back. We're having a revival. And what did Jesus say? Nope. I got alone with the Father, and he told me I got to go to another town. All right, so the only way sometimes we can listen to God is get alone. And I know sometimes, like, I get up early in the morning to pray, right? And then I'm praying, and then the cat wakes you know, up and wants to get fed. And then before long, the one of the dogs, and I'm over there trying to get alone and you know, in the dark praying, and all of a sudden the light comes on, all right? So I got to go to another room because there's going to be distractions. And I know sometimes it's hard. If you have children, it's really hard to get alone. And I remember when I had kids, I would go out and walk and pray. I think everybody in my neighborhood thought I was probably insane or kook, you know what I mean? Because I was always talking while I was walking. But I had to get away because the kids and the animals were going to distract me. And so I really encourage you to do that. Another way sometimes to listen to God is to worship, all right? Is to spend time just worshiping him, giving him thanks, and just waiting upon him and listening. Now, I noticed in Acts chapter 4, verse 2, that the disciples had figured this out. The apostles had figured this out. Can you go ahead and read Acts chapter 4, verse 2?
While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them."
All right, so what were they doing when the Holy Spirit spoke? They were worshiping the Lord. All right, they were worshiping the Lord. Now, sometimes we're so distracted, even in church, all right, we're so distracted. Have you ever been there? You're worshiping, but you're thinking about what you have to do tomorrow, and you're thinking about what you have to do later that night. I remember when I used to go to church as a kid, all I could think about is, what can I order for breakfast? Because I knew if I went to church, my grandpa would take me to breakfast, all right? And so sometimes we're thinking about everything else, but notice this, they were worshiping the Lord. And if that's not enough, what else were they doing?
Fasting.
They were fasting, okay? They were fasting from certain things, maybe food or different things. So sometimes if we're going, I'm just not hearing from God. I just can't hear his voice. Well, start off with worshiping, and then start off with, then if you need more, fast.
I have a question about fasting. I know what it is, but what's the point? Like, what is it for, or what does it do? Like,
it's surely not to twist God's arm. A lot of people think, if I just fast, then God's got to do this for me. What fasting means, it means to take a break, all right? So what you're doing is it's benefiting you. You're taking a break maybe from food, all right? Because that's all you're thinking about. You're taking a break from, you could fast from certain things. Maybe
something
like, what?
Is it something that you love? You take a break from something that you really enjoy or love?
No, I'm not necessarily saying that. But maybe let's say you're not hearing from God and you need to take some people in the church, need to take a fast from television, okay? You see what I'm saying? Some people need to take a fast from activities, all right? Some people need to take a fast from food or various things. Why they need to take a break from it so God can speak to them. The scripture says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the what? The work which I have called them to do. All right. Remember, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. But here's a specific call. We're only going to learn sometime by listening to the Spirit because he's going to lead and guide us into all truth. All right. Now, sometimes we're going, I'm not so sure I want to follow the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus after he was baptized and the Father went and confirmed how much he loved Jesus. He confirmed that he was his son, right? He confirmed his calling. And then what happened? The Spirit comes upon him and sends him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So I don't know about you, but sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to us and we go, I don't really want to go into the wilderness. And so we go, oh, that must not have been God. That must have been the devil, because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. No, the Holy Spirit led him there. And what happened was Jesus got victory, and Jesus also taught us something, that how this is how you can defeat the devil too when he comes against you. It is written. It is written. It is written. So don't think, you know, I don't want to go into the wilderness. You want to go wherever the Holy Spirit leads you to, right? But sometimes we're not so sure because things aren't going, you know, perfectly as we thought they should. They're not going as we expected, all right? Now look at Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 23. You're going to see that they were led by the Holy Spirit, but remember Jesus said he will warn you of things to come? Now, sometimes the things to come for the early apostles weren't so great. Every one of them pretty much got martyred, all right? But the Holy Spirit still compelled them. And sometimes, you know, he wants to lead us gently, but sometimes the Holy Spirit has to compel us. Look at Acts 20, verses 22 and 23.
And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me.
All right, so in Acts 20, 22, all right, it says the Holy Spirit compelled them, all right? Compelled them to go. Now, he also warns them that this is what's going to happen when you go. You're going to be in prison. You're going to face hardships, all right? Now, obviously, if the Holy Spirit was telling me, probably telling you, that this is what you're going to face. You're going to face prison for following Jesus, and you're going to follow a lot of hardships. We would need him to compel us. Do you agree with that? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need to have the Holy Spirit speak loud and compel us. And the word compel is interesting. It means he's going to require this of us. We're going to be obliged and actually forced or obligated by the Holy Spirit to do what he tells us to do. All right? Because he's going to lead and guide us what into all truth. But sometimes we resist the Holy Spirit, all right? Sometimes we don't listen to him when he says, it's too cold out there, David. You're going to get hurt if you golf today, all right? Sometimes he has to compel us. So what happens is he turns around and compels them to do that, but then he warns them, which means he advises them, he informs them that this is what's going to happen, all right? So not every time the Holy Spirit leads you is it going to be to a, you know, an afterglow on Wednesday night, all right? Aren't they wonderful? Sometimes he's going to lead you into a wilderness. Sometimes he's going to lead you into hardships, all right? Has this month been a little hard? Come on, be honest. It's a hard month, all right? And May's a hard month because it's a lot of extra work. And the Holy Spirit wants to empower you, though. He wants to guide you, though. He wants to lead you, though, into months like this. Why? Because he wants to change you, all right? And we so often resist that. He wants to guide you to a place where you are transformed and that you can bear much fruit for Jesus, all right? So sometimes we get it wrong, like I did, right? Sometimes we don't always listen. And sometimes we need grace, all right? And by the grace of God, I'm better now, all right? And it's interesting, sometimes we don't always follow. And I'm not saying that we should always go, oh, you know, the grace will cover this. But I know one thing, Paul said this, right about the time he told us about all the hardships he went through, the shipwrecks, the imprisonments, the beating. He said, by the grace of God, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. All right? And then he goes, no, I worked harder than all of you guys. And the Apostle Paul did. And we have people here at the Father's house and in the school that work harder than anybody. But what's very interesting, he says, yet it was not really me, but it was the grace of God that was in me that helped and empowered me to do the work. And so when you're having a tough week, a tough month, all right, you're facing hardships, what if you allowed the grace of God to work within you and give you the power to do this? Make sense? All right, I already told you the story of golfing when it's too cold. Have I ever told you the story of KT-22? All right, it's a ski mountain in Squaw Valley, which they now call Palisades at Tahoe. It's extremely steep. And I would only go ski it, because I was, you know, getting into later ages, when my son-in-law, Ryan, would guide me. All right, I'm going to teach you a little bit about the guidance of the Spirit, how sometimes we need people to guide us. Sometimes we need people to mentor us. Sometimes we need people to disciple us, all right? We can't do this alone, all right? So I would go with him and his brother up to this, but every time they took me, it would be this big storm, all right? It was a blizzard, and I couldn't hardly see. But if I followed them, I knew I'd be okay, all right? And so what happened is I would always try to stay as close. And they would go, you go ahead. And I go, no, I'm not familiar with this terrain. All right? So I want to follow my guide. And I would always follow them. But it was really interesting. Every time they invited me to go up and ski with them, because I skied at another place. I normally skied at a place that it was a little flatter. Okay? I'm telling you, this was rocks and cliffs and really super steep. All right? Which I didn't realize at the time because I was following my guide. I never realized how much danger I was in because I was following my guide, right? So one other day, he invited me out there, and it was a fresh powder day, but the sun came out. And I was like, come on, Ryan, get here. And he didn't get here. And I'm looking at the line's not very long for KT-22. I'm going to go up by myself. And so I get on the chairlift by myself. He is not there yet, right? My guide wasn't there yet, but I'm going to go because I want to go ski this. It's fresh powder, and I'm all excited. So I get there, and as I start to get to the top of the hill, guess what happens? The storm started to come back in. The sunshine went away. The blizzard started hitting again, all right? I could barely see, right? But I could see these guys in front of me, and I said, oh, to myself, if I just follow them, I'll be okay. They can guide me down. So I jump off the chairlift, and they went to the left side. Now, I'd only gone to the left maybe a couple times with my son-in-law, Ryan. I always went to the right. And I go, oh, what am I going to do now? Well, I'll follow them. So I started following them, right? And guess what? I lost them. And that's what happens sometimes when we do things without the guide of the Holy Spirit. We get out here and we get lost in life. So I started skiing, and all of a sudden, I heard this, and I stopped, right? And I slid my skis a little bit, and all of a sudden I realized I was on a rock. I had no idea until later how steep this cliff that I was on was. And so what would I do? I prayed. Oh, Holy Spirit, get me out of this, yes. Right? Now, I could tell that it was pretty high because I could hear these people down below. And I said, hey, how do I get down? They go, we can't see you. We can't help you, right? So I'm like, Holy Spirit, help me. I need help getting down because this is a cliff I'm on. So what happens is I start to slide over, and every time I slide, I can see rocks. You know, I'm on the rocks of this cliff. But all of a sudden, there was this crevice. There was another rock on the other side. And in between this crevice, it looked like there was no rocks, right? And I had to, but the Holy Spirit said, go now. And I jumped into the hill, got down through the crevice, made a couple turns in the powder, and I made it out safely, and I'm here today to teach you. What's even more miraculous about that is I got to the bottom and I didn't have any scratches on my, these were kind of like new powder skis, but I learned a lesson in life. I'm never going to go up there again on a powder day without my son-in-law. We should never go anywhere without the Holy Spirit. We should every day say, Holy Spirit, I want to walk through life with you. Because if I walk and live in life with you, Paul said that we won't fulfill the lust of our flesh, right? Well, the lust of my flesh is to go ski powder, right, at times. Now, there's nothing wrong with skiing powder, all right? But when you go at the wrong time, there is, all right? I'm not saying golf is wrong. Maybe too much golf you need to be fasting from, right? And I guess I got to fast from golf last summer, all right? But sometimes we just need to realize that we need to be guided in life, all right? And I learned a great lesson from that. And so I asked the Holy Spirit, I want to walk with you every day. I get up every day, Holy Spirit, I want to walk through life with you because I do not want to fulfill the lust that's in my flesh. I want to be a disciple that bears much fruit. And guess what? If you read the rest of Galatians, you get down to verse 22, you'll see the fruit of a disciple who walks out life with the Holy Spirit. They're gonna bear supernatural fruit. And so in the end, I believe that walking out life with the Holy Spirit, listening to Him, developing a relationship with Him, it leads to much fruit. And that's what a disciple does. Any questions? I hope we can see that true discipleship is all about a relationship with Jesus, is all about a relationship with our Father and with the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people have false discipleship, a discipleship where they put something on people that doesn't lead them to transformation. But true discipleship should be full of joy. It should be full of fruit. I mean, isn't it exciting that we can bear much fruit by being His disciples and bring glory to the Father? We get to bring glory to the one that created the very universe. So I hope you're excited about this discipleship month. I hope you're excited about growing as a disciple. All right. Now, I can't tell you it's always going to be easy, because we can see that as a disciple sometimes leads us to wilderness experiences. But those wilderness experiences lead us to fruit. A fruit that glorifies God, a fruit that gives you joy in life, it gives you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, and it empowers you to live in self-control. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for sending the Holy Spirit. We need you, Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us, to lead us into transformation. We are so thankful that we can be your disciples. We pray that you would speak loudly to us. You would teach us how to follow the voice of the Spirit. And we just give you praise for that. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Refuse Ordinary. We hope you were encouraged, inspired, and even challenged to seek more of who God is and who you are in Him. If you have any questions about the School of Transformation or would like to apply for our next semester, please go to transformationschool.org or send us an email at info@transformationschool.org. See you next time.